Minotti, and I'm Nintendog.
Hi, I'm Jeff Grubb, and I am a Nintendog.
And we are the last of the Nintendogs. This week, we are getting ready for Christmas. We're talking about waifus and or husbandos. Jeff, how are you doing? I know you're excited about today. You're not in a rush
horny.
Or anything.
I'm ready to talk about my waifu.
Very good. Very good. We got some answers for that one. I'll tell you what.
I'm sure we did.
It's going to be quite a week.
My notifications go off when on Discord when we get responses there. And it was like occasionally glancing over and seeing something like, what's that about? Oh, yeah. Oh, right. Okay. We're talking about that this week. So looking forward to hearing from our community.
Right. All right, Jeff. You ready for some news first, though? I know you're excited to talk about, Nintendo girls, but we got to do our jobs first.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's talk about the news.
All right. Well, first off, so I think last week on this show, and then we were echoing it throughout the week, we're talking about how there will maybe more Genesis games will just never come to the Switch, right? Nintendo Switch Online expansion pack. And then they announced five more games for the Nintendo Switch Online Genesis expansion pack thing. So
it's just so weird because it's like, you hear they're like, oh, Nintendo spent a bunch of money trying to get Sega to do this stuff. And so it's like, oh, well, if they spent all that money, wouldn't they just want all the games right away? It's kind of how I thought about it. I don't know. Turns out they left some room for marketing, so they held some games back. And if you're going to hold anything back, Mike, you hold back Altered Beast, because that's going to be the big one.
Everyone's so rough on Altered Beast, man. It's like every time Altered Beast comes out, people feel a need to like, yes, be like, that game's not good, actually. It's like, the game's fine. Calm down.
It's a port of an arcade game, and what it was selling at the time was, look at how good Genesis games can port arcade games compared to that crappy NES. Like, you played, Double Dragon on there or whatever, and, Double Dragon might be better on the NES, but it didn't look better. And Altered Beast looks, almost exactly like the arcade game. So it's, that's what they were selling. And if you put yourself in that time, it worked. It absolutely was, telling me, oh, this is the future. And I'm like, I was, as a Nintendo fan back then, I was getting antsy. I'm like, man, I need this Super Nintendo now. So it did its job, and people are way too hard on it these days.
Yeah, even if you play it now, so you just walk around, you punch people, it's fine. You turn into an altered beast, it's fine.
Yeah, it's cool.
You're not paying $50 for it anymore, right? You're always getting it for free. And
yes,
stop
good
complaining
point.
About altered yes. beast. There are definitely worse games on here. Actually, the whole lineup was pretty good that they added, because we also got Dynamite Heady, which is one of my favorites. That's a treasure game. I actually played through it all again for funsies. Good stuff. I forgot just how similar it is to Rocket Knight Adventures, another one of my favorite Genesis games, in that it's kind of a 2D platformer, but mostly it's a boss rush game. Like, the whole game is boss, and it's super fun. It's great. Sort of Vermilion is one I haven't played. I started up, it's a very old school RPG thing. I can't even remember if this one is well-liked or if people think it's just too old and weird. I'm not sure, but it's interesting, and it's there. Toe Jam and Earl is one of those quintessential Genesis games, yes, where I actually like Toe Jam and Earl 2 a good deal more. And I used to think that was the really upsetting opinion of people, but now a lot of people, I think, feel that way too.
Toe Jam and Earl is almost a roguelike, right?
It is very much a roguelike. And I did not have that in my vocabulary back when this came out at all.
Of course not. Yeah.
But now I'm like, oh, this is just a roguelike. There's randomly generated levels. It's top down. And
yeah, you start from the beginning. And right. It's a game that definitely still has style. Like, it had style then. It does now still. So that's why I show up for it. I'll say Thunder Force 2. I never played Thunder Force 2. I played Thunder Force 3 and really liked it. Is 2 any good? Do you know?
I was playing some 2. So generally 3 is very well liked, and 4 is really well liked. Thunder Force 4, also called Lightning Force.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Thunder Force 4 is fantastic. I'm not a big shmup guy, but Thunder Force 4 is maybe the best looking Genesis game. It's pretty ridiculous. Thunder Force 2, it's weird. It's not always side scrolling. The first level, you can go around in 8 directions. It's almost like Herzog's Zwei, but without the fun base building stuff. So I'm not sure about Thunder Force 2, but it's fine. It's there.
Anyway, Genesis had a breadth of games. There was a lot of different kinds of games on the Genesis, and I don't know how much it gets credit for that. I definitely like the Super Nintendo library better. I do. But when I show up and it's like, oh, yeah, Herzog's Zwei was on there. There were some really great shooters like Thunder Force 3. Yeah.
It was better with shooters in general. Super Nintendo has UN Squadron. People and there's probably something else. But in general, most good shmups are on Genesis. I was even playing that Mushu, whatever, the one that's already on there. It was pretty fun. So, yeah. I was actually spending a lot. We'll talk about it later, but I spent basically the whole week playing through random Genesis games on Switch and just being like completely okay with rewind scumming my way through them.
Yes.
Because I was just having fun. Like, who cares?
Right, exactly. For sure.
Mm-hmm. But I'll go ahead and say I think Dynamite Heady is the best of this new bunch here. And now I'm hoping we do get a bunch more. Let's get Rocket Knight Adventure. Let's get the better Thunder Force games on here. There's still a lot of stuff. It'd be nice if we can get EA to play a little ball. We can get like Road Rage or Road Rash. What was it? Road Rage? Road Rash.
Road Rash.
Road Rage is just a thing.
Yeah, Road Rage is just what you have when someone cuts you off. And the Road Rash is it's a cool game. From Electronic Arts, from Andrew Wilson, personally programmed it.
EA and Genesis, man, that was an important stuff back then. Like it's like on Super Nintendo, I think of Capcom. It's kind of like the indispensable third party.
Yes, EA definitely the indispensable third party on Genesis. Yes.
Or Konami, because Konami is ridiculous.
Yeah, no, but the sports games. I mean, when you start getting Madden and stuff, like
It'd be so great if they can get one of the NHL,
NHL 94. They've done NHL 94 throwback, and maybe they could put that on there with the new players, like kind of like split the difference because they have the license and stuff for that. But I don't know. NHL 94 throwback came out last year. It was really fantastic. But I don't know. It would be hard to like relicense those old players again.
Yeah, Rocket Knight Adventure is definitely the number one, though, that I still want on there that is not on there right now. And Konami has surprisingly played ball, even including, Contra Hardcore and Castlevania Bloodlines, even though those are on like their own separate collections. So Rocket Knight Adventure is not available in any way. So it'd be great if that's on there.
Not to go on and on about this news topic, but I mean, there's some really good games on here now. Streets of Rage 2. Gunstar Heroes.
Shinobi 3. That's why I was playing so much. There actually are a lot of good games on the
Genesis. Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine, if you got someone to play with.
Yeah.
Contra Hardcore. Castlevania Bloodlines.
Better than what we have on Nintendo 64 right now, by far. It's a better all-around library that they got there. All right, Jeff. Metroid Dread is Time Magazine's Game of the Year, so...
The one that matters. The only one that really matters.
I bet it makes Nintendo happy to be able to say we were Time Magazine. Sure.
That's going to be on Doug Bowser's wall, right? Doug Bowser's going to have the Time Magazine article all framed on his wall. Like, that'll happen.
Yes, I made this. That's exactly what happened. I tell you what, people like to, not that they did here, people sure do like to get mad about like what Time Magazine says, even though no one reads Time Magazine. Right. Like, everyone's always mad about the person of the year. I was like, what's the last time you bought Time Magazine? What do you care? But they get upset. Jeff, Hot Wheels Unleashed has sold 1 million copies worldwide.
Yeah, that's impressive. Is Hot Wheels Unleashed on Switch?
No, it's on Switch. I mean, you don't know because you would never think about cheating on Cruisin' Blast.
Right, of course. That's exactly right, Mike. And I'm glad you pointed out my monogamy to everybody. I had it on Epic Games Store, so I'm like, I guess I don't even need to consider getting it anywhere else. But that's impressive. It seems like this is a series that could, have multiple entries in the future and get a lot of support and be worth it. Because I think everyone at the same time realized, we miss arcade racers and we want something like that. Most people went to Hot Wheels. Now, the people with refined taste did go to Cruisin' Blast, of course, Mike, but I'm fine either way. I just want this genre to sort of thrive and come back in a strong way.
Jeff. I'm not leaving you high and dry. I have some Cruisin' Blast news also. I think the director did a Reddit AMA, and he confirmed that online multiplayer is next on their to-do list for that one, and then after that, there's going to be DLC coming to the game. So
we did it, everybody! USA! USA! We did it!
So you can calm down now.
I'm very excited about that.
We talked about shmups earlier. Zexes is launching on Switch on December 23rd via that Arcade Archives lineup thing. Zexes is it's a Konami arcade shmup thing.
Man, XEXEX. I guess I'm impressed because I think you're right. Xes is probably how you say that.
I think Zexes. I'm just saying Zexes, like Xerxes from like 300 is my best guess. Yeah.
from 300. Yes. Those arcade
games are not from history.
The other day when we were talking about the Halo songs on you're the Man Now, Dog. You're like the song from the Wonder Years. I'm like in my head, do you mean the Beatles song, Mike? But I'm like, I don't want to give you a hard time about it. So
I know
the arcade archive games were Early on in the Switch, they were like something that I'm like, oh yeah, every time they came out, I was so on top of them. Now I really only rarely look, but I'm glad that they're still doing them. I think they're usually like $8 a piece. It's kind of why I fell off. There's like much more substantial games you can get for $8 on the Switch at this point. Yeah. But still, but I'm like,
done well.
They've done well, and they're always like the arcade true games. So like the Donkey Kong Arcade Archive game, it's like, this is the actual arcade one. So you get the Pi level, or what? I guess it's the cement stage, but I still think of it as the Pi level too. But yeah, I'll show up for this. It's cool that they're still doing it.
Jeff, an Axios report by Stephen Totilo says that Ubisoft staff are leaving their jobs in droves. What do you know about this?
I mean, I know this is true of most places that have like any sort of toxic work environment at all. I think the same thing is happening at Activision. But what I've heard is Montreal, and that's like Ubisoft's like home turf in terms of North America and making games. Ubisoft Montreal is just struggling to keep people even as they raise money for certain staff, like artists and stuff like that. They've raised pay for that for them. It's not enough. There's so much money going into Montreal specifically that it is causing people to like go start their own studios and then hiring people from Ubisoft. There is other like Tencent's coming into Montreal, starting studios, acquiring studios, giving them a bunch of money to hire, and they are taking people from Ubisoft. Ubisoft's basically just acting like, you know, the developmental league for these other studios now. And at a certain point, like, these like the growth in Montreal is happening faster than sort of like new students are graduating. And Montreal has like a good pipeline of talent, but it's not keeping up. So this is not surprising to me at all. It's definitely echoes what I've heard about it. So it's going to be a problem. Like, and if you have a choice of like working somewhere and everyone's going to like pay you a lot of money, do you go work at Ubisoft when you like heard all those stories about Yves Gamalt and you know, the leadership there kind of protecting, you know, toxic work environments? Or do you go try to work at a smaller studio where maybe you have more say over what the environment is like? If you're a young Gen Z graduate, you know, who's so highly sought after, I think the choice there is probably pretty simple.
Yes. So what you're saying, Jeff, is that it's not looking good for Beyond Good and Evil 2. There just may not be enough people to play that game.
I'm going to say, I still don't think that game's ever going to come out, Mike. And if it does, it will never look like what we got in that trailer.
Oh, absolutely not. No way. Yeah. I don't think I agree. I don't think it's ever coming out anyways, but yeah.
I was on a podcast on Saturday. I just like popped in, like, they have like an open door thing for me, and they mentioned my name. So I hopped in real quick, and we got on this topic, and people were like, well, they showed a gameplay snippet. I'm like, did they? Did they?
I mean, I know what they're thinking of. Like, sure. I mean, that. So what? Even still, they had something that was running in real time and it was accepting inputs, I guess. Okay.
Yeah, but gameplay. I mean, like, right? Like, there's ways to do that in like engines when you're just like, you know, you're running in the engine environment and stuff. And it's like, yeah, I really don't think that this is a. Don't believe it. Like, we saw gameplay of Cyberpunk, right? We need to get back to a point where we are very skeptical of all this stuff. I think is kind of where we need to be. Yeah. So yeah, Beyond Good and Evil 2, probably not going
to
happen.
I saw extensive gameplay of that original Prey 2 to the point that looked like a game that could come out soon. It was like, right. Of course, it was just all put together with duct tape and wires and, yes. You know, and
developers will fully admit that that's what happens. Right. Like, they of course, tell you.
We know why they do. It's not like it's evil, but it's like, don't take it as a great sign that game's going to come, especially Beyond Good and Evil 2. Like, come on.
Right. Exactly.
Right. Well, anyways, it's a good time for Ubisoft to scare all their employees with NFT talk that makes them unpopular then, right?
Yep. Yeah. That seems like good timing for them.
So where else would they go? Oh, anywhere else, it turns out. All right, Jeff, that's it for the news. We got questions here. We have our topic where people are going to tell us about their favorites, waifu or husbando. If you have a question, or you want to tell us your favorite Nintendo waifu or husbando, you can send us a super chat. I see we actually got a good amount in already. Thank you so much, everybody. But let's get going on these questions. Jeff from Benji Bob. He says, Pokemon arguably hit greatest stride in the DS area, not only because of Gen 4 and 5, but because we got some of the best spinoffs in franchise history. Pokemon Conquest is literally Pokemon plus Fire Emblem, and Pokemon Rangers is the closest we've gotten to a true RPG. Why does it seem like Nintendo / the Pokemon Company are so afraid to branch out? As excited as I am for Legends Arceus, I'm terrified it's going to be a one and done like most of the other spinoffs. I think without the kind of we can make pixel games on the DS thing, it's probably just too expensive to make as many spinoffs as they do. And they do make a lot of spinoffs anymore, but they're mobile stuff, right?
Yes.
I guess. That stuff now gets put into mobile, like with the game where they're all QB Pokemon and a bunch of other things like that. And then they literally had the MOBA recently, right? Like, so you're getting that Pokemon Unite now instead of Pokemon Ranger.
Yes, that's, I think this just comes down to the Pokemon company being very conservative, being very, they just want to make investments that they know are going to have a significant return. And, or they know that the bets that will definitely pay off, and those are going to be bets that they've made before. And I think a lot of it just comes down to that. I think Nintendo probably would like to see a little bit more investment in different ideas, but they don't really get to make those calls necessarily. They get like some say, but really they get a say in who the Pokemon company puts in charge, and then those people make those decisions. And so far, I mean, they're making a lot of money. And it's kind of hard to argue with the results. So that's why you kind of end up getting the same results over and over.
Alex says, kind of branching off of Benji's question, do you think we'll see an attempt to bring in some weird takes on other franchises like they did to Pokemon during the DS era?
I don't
really think so, I have to say.
Yeah, I think all of the hopes right now are going on Arceus. If Arceus works and is very successful, we will get more in that. Like, they will treat that as a new tier of Pokemon games, and it'll keep going forward. Maybe even like a primary tier, but it's that seems like to be their bet right now, and they're not looking to sort of supplement that with weirder takes on the franchise right now. It doesn't seem like it. Especially after Pokemon Snap didn't sell like super well, so it's like. Yeah. I think they could say, hey, there's not a lot of thirst for the weird stuff. So I think that's
probably kind of misread, because will there be weirder takes on the other franchises like with the Pokemon? So he even says like the Star Fox Racing rumor, Super Smash Bros. Cards. Yes, now I understand. But in general, like they aren't doing as much, like, even like the franchises that were typically all about that, like Kirby. We haven't gotten a weird Kirby Switch game yet. We've gotten the traditional 2D Kirby, and we're getting like the 3D Kirby game, which is cool, but still like, you know, a core Kirby game. So yeah, we haven't gotten it. We haven't gotten very many experimental Nintendo games now. I think it's just what you're talking about before with everyone being slightly more conservative about that stuff now, huh?
Yes. I mean, I think in general that a lot of these companies know what's going to work and they want to just keep pursuing that. Developers, like development teams are really hard to come by right now. Nintendo works with a lot of partner developers, but they're even acquiring some of those because they're afraid of losing them to other companies. So you kind of like need to be putting the resources you have, you need to put them where you know they're going to work. And that doesn't leave a lot of room for experimentation. That's, that's where you like hope that like, oh, what Microsoft's doing with the Game Pass. It's like, oh, maybe that frees up some of these teams to have like smaller teams that can do some experimentation stuff because they could just like, add that to the subscription service and it benefits it overall. Even then development resources are still really, there's not a lot of it. So you got to make the bets where you know they're going to work.
VJ Incoming asks, why are there only two Nintendogs left? What happened to all the other ones? Do we need to be concerned? Does this mean that eventually Nintendogs will go extinct since the last remaining two are male? How could we let this happen? Look about those other Nintendogs. We took care of them.
There could be only two.
We're done.
I mean, yeah. There's some that say there could be only one. Me and Mike and Matt, we have a truce. And there could be only two. For now. It's a shaky truce, but we have one.
One of us will be the last of them. He's right. Me and Jeff will not be able to mate and produce offspring. So,
hey, unfortunately, right? Am I right, Mike?
This episode is going to be weird.
It's a weird one, everybody. And we're okay with that. Yeah, I forgot the tweet, so I'm tweeting it right now. And
I thought you were about to apologize. I was going to get mad.
No. I'm very proud of what we're doing here today. I forgot the tweet, so I'm tweeting right now. And the screenshot I'm including is just one of our chatters saying the sunflower with boobs from Conker. And like, I'm like, yeah. So no context. I'm just going to tweet that. So.
Oh, no. Nintendo Bro asks, fishing aside, what is your favorite mini game in the Zelda universe? I'm not generally a big fan of the Zelda mini games. They always kind of feel a little like whatever. I feel like they're always like, play this mini game and get a heart piece. I'm like, I don't need a heart piece that bad. It's like, here's the tutorial version of the game. Now it gets slightly harder in five different ways. I'm like, no, thank you. Like, I guess I like the Battleship one and Wind Waker because I just like to play Battleship.
Yeah, and the sound effects of the dude is great, right?
Yes, very good.
He goes kloosh and stuff like that, and that sells it. This one's easy for me because it's really the thing that totally got me into Zelda. When the kid in fifth grade gave me a copy of Link's Awakening and stole it from the teacher's assistant. Yes, and gave it to me. I'm like, okay, thank you. I put it in my Game Boy and I started playing it a little bit, but I really played it on either, it was like a trip to like some, like to summer camp when I was in Boy Scouts or something like that. And I was in the van playing it a lot, and I got to the very beginning of the game, and there's a claw game that you can play, and there's a Yoshi in the middle. And I was like trying to get the timing down on getting all the things on the on the track as they come around. And I'm like, man, this is neat. This is weird. And once you get the Yoshi doll, like you suddenly learn, like maybe there's a way to start trading that. And it just got, it hooks into me because of that. And that was like, that opened me up. Like, oh, I'm just doing this weird thing off to the side that seems like not important to the central things that I should be doing. And yet it does hook its way into all that stuff. And that creates like this mystery. And I was very into it.
That is the correct answer. Good job, Jeff.
Thank you.
Charles said, how do you think Nintendo views the Analog Pocket and other similar devices? We know they don't like emulation, but I think this is slightly different. Does it bother them, but legally they have no case, or does it not bother them at all? That's an interesting question, Jeff. What does Nintendo think of like the Analog Pocket and some of these other things that play old cartridges?
I want to say it bothers them, but legally they have no case, which is exactly the truth. Right. These things... deal with patents. Patents only last 20 years. And even like then, like this stuff is usually done in a clean room, and they are emulating the hardware side of stuff with FPGA. And that's not, I don't know that, I'm not sure if that would infringe on a patent in the first place, but even if it would, the patent is expired a long time ago now. But even then, I'm like, when I think about Nintendo of America, we say this every week, like people say it's a marketing division. It's a legal division. It's their law firm. And lawyers tend to work backward from what they can do something about. And if they can't do something about it, they actually don't care about it. So I wonder if they actually, I bet internally they're just like, oh no, the patent expired. We have bigger fish to fry. Let's go worry about the stuff we can do something about. So I bet they're not too bothered by this.
Right. It probably still somehow bothered too much, considering that they obviously don't make new Game Boys anymore.
Right. When they do make handhelds, these Game & Watch things, they sell just fine. So they're fine.
Yeah, exactly. I was sad. My Analog Pocket pre-order is not coming in until quarter 4 of 2022. So ooh, a year ouch. From now about.
Ouch. Yeah,
seems like most people got that time frame.
Yes.
So
hopefully it speeds up. Like there's a chance that those things can maybe catch up and speed up a little bit.
These days, Jeff, usually things come out later than you expect, not earlier, that's a good but
point.
We'll see.
Good point.
Yeah. I'm just curious to see if I get my Steam Deck before I get that.
Yes, hopefully.
Yeah. Lower Legend says, I'm fairly new to tactical RPGs, but Fire Emblem Three Houses really clicked with me this year. Do you recommend Advance Wars to someone who enjoys Fire Emblem? And what other Fire Emblem games would you recommend besides Three Houses? I'll say that I think Fire Emblem Awakening on the 3DS is my favorite Fire Emblem still. And then the Game Boy Advance ones are pretty fun. Sacred Stones is good stuff. So I look at that one too. If Advance Wars, yeah, if you like just like the tactical like turn-based combat a lot, go play Advance Wars, but you're going to be missing out on the if you like a lot of our viewers like Fire Emblem because of the waifus, then you might be disappointed. Although they do have waifus, they're just not very emphasized.
The characters are more disposable on the battlefield because your waifus are not down there. They are commanding from the back line and don't actually get involved. So it's slightly different on that stuff, but that means it's more about resources and being able to build these things up. And if you lose some soldiers on the front line, it's not the end of the world. It's not like, oh, permadeath's not a thing. Well, permadeath is a thing, but they're for characters that are dispensable, like disposable. So it's a slightly different emphasis on like what you should be caring about. And I think it's, if you like Fire Emblem, give Advance Wars a try, definitely. And I think there's a chance that you might really click, it might really click with you. There's definitely people that have a preference. I think most people end up liking both though.
Mm-hmm. All right, Jeff, here we go. We do have one more question from Jumpman. What other Game Boy Advance and or GameCube games do you think Nintendo will remaster? Man, that's, I feel like they should remaster like Metroid Fusion and Metroid Zero Mission, or at least just like port them with some stuff. That would seem to make the most sense to me, especially as a duology. It would work pretty well. other than that, I'm not sure what else is super primed for one. Like, there's things that I think would like to see, like Mario Land 4 or something like that. But I don't know. Anything pop to your mind, Jeff?
I mean, Mother 3, probably not, though.
Yeah, that's true, right? Yeah. What about the GameCube set? We said a bunch of, all they need to do to get a new F-Zero game is just remaster F-Zero GX and put it on Switch, and it would be good to go. It'd be completely fine. Like, I wish they would do that. They should just do that, but I don't think they're going to.
Yeah. So we are going to get Metroid Prime remastered this next year. So that's coming. I think that they should probably put Paper Mario with a 1,000-year door on Switch. That would be a huge hit, I think. We're going to get Wind Waker and Twilight Princess, I guess, is a GameCube game too. Yeah. That stuff will come this year as well. So,
yeah, well, those were remastered right now. They're just getting ported, I guess, if you want to be a technical asshole. apparently I want to. I will say that the Fire Emblem game for GameCube, I can't remember if that's Path of Radiance or Radiant Dawn. I think it's Path of Radiance. That might be prime for one, because we know they like to remake Fire Emblem games.
Yeah, all right, I guess that's probably it. Yep.
That's it for the questions. Now I get to ask you the question I've been waiting all week to ask you.
Oh boy.
Who is your Nintendo waifu or husbando?
I'll just say it. I like the way Princess Peach looks in her wedding dress in Super Mario Odyssey.
Somebody said in my chat yesterday while streaming, Jeff is probably just going to say Princess Peach like the vanilla simp that he is.
That's and right.
Here we go.
Listen. Embarrassed on multiple levels to say that out loud. Don't worry.
I like how you had an outfit in mind, by the way. Jesus Christ.
Hey, listen, what are we doing here? What are we doing here if we're not going all, like, this is the... I don't need to say anything else. I don't need to talk about my feelings. I thought this was a safe place. I don't know.
I didn't have to specifically say Daisy in her soccer outfit.
Right? And yet you could, and we know that that's what you're feeling.
I do feel like I have to say Daisy now. It's become part of the brand. I never even was a big Daisy fan. I just liked that one concept art from Strikers, and here we are now. Man, that's why they need to make a new Strikers and put Rosalina in it so that she can wear her sexy, sporty outfit, and then I could put Rosalina back on top, and everything will be good. There's so many Fire Emblem waifus to pick from, though, right?
It's an embarrassment of riches, Mike. It's absolutely. An
embarrassment of riches. There's Lynn. I liked Bernadetta, the weird, mousy, quiet one. Mousy's not really a word from Three Houses. There's so many good waifus. But I'll stick on brand for everybody's sake, and I will say Daisy. We'll go with that. But we got a lot of answers, probably in equal parts baffling and disgusting from our community.
So we got some of the super chats too, so I'll be on those as we need them.
Benji Pop says favorite waifu gym leader Flannery from Pokemon Gen 3. She just always gave off Avril Lavigne. I know Avril Lavigne is. I don't know who Paramore is.
Paramore is just like if Avril Lavigne was a band.
Okay, are they in the Wu-Tang group?
Yes, Mike, they're in the Wu-Tang group. God damn it! I put this on in your Twitch yesterday. I need someone to design me a Wu-Tang. Merch with just two tongs that make a W. So if anyone wants to do that, let me know.
Anyways, Flannery always gave off Paramore, Avril Lavigne vibes, and definitely would stomp on you. God, everybody wants to get hurt by these.
Yes, there's also, a lot of that.
Also, she lives in a town with natural hot springs, so I'll let your mind wander with that information. Favorite husbando is Mirror B from Pokemon Coliseum / Pokemon XD. The dude fucks straight up. You know it the second you lay eyes on him. Once again, his theme music is a banger. Just because there's so many gym leaders, there always are pretty good Pokemon waifus and husbandos. I actually quite like Skyla from Black and White. I think Skyla is my favorite. And then the newest one had like Mommy Indifferent Dom. What was her name? Sonya. Sonya was hot, right? Everyone liked Sonya.
On a similar track, I'll read this one from Huey F. Newton in the chat. 5-volt is a top tier waifu, but I can't pick her because a kid is a deal breaker for me. So I'm going to pick Ayumi Tachibana from The Missing Heir. So there you go.
Missing Heir, was that one of those Famicom detective games?
Maybe, I don't know. The Missing.
That might be one of those Famicom detective games.
Professor Layton? No, yeah, I think you might be right.
No,
yeah, Famicom Detective Club, The Missing Heir. You're right.
There we go. Pinball Jr. says, my favorite waifu slash husbando is Corrin from Fire Emblem Fates. Well, that's interesting because, yeah, Corrin could be male or female. So you got all your bases covered.
Yeah, there you go.
They won't wear shoes. It could turn into a dragon. Everything I need in a partner. I'm pan, so either gender of them works for me. There you go.
Or dragon works for you, too. Yeah, yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Hopefully, the next Fire Emblem allows you to change gender at any time. I will say, of the three recent Fire Emblem protagonists that could be male or female, Corrin might be my least favorite. I think I would do Byleth before that and Robin ahead of all of them. Robin, yeah,
Mike, your waifus are better. You're right.
I thank you, Jeff. I was looking for that validation. It's about me. I feel like, yeah, I tell you what, I realized that I'm just basically going through all of these and I'm going to say their answer is wrong. Here's the slightly related one that I think is better. So Napper here says, my waifu is Candy Kong. That's not correct. I don't know why that disgusts me, but yet I would be completely okay if somebody liked the sexy bandicoot from Crash Bandicoot. Candy Kong is weird. I don't like monkeys. Monkeys weird me out.
Well, it's an ape. So, I mean, first of all, it's just, you're just wrong. Like, I, Mike, you're right about this. Candy Kong is horrifying to me.
Yeah, Candy Kong's just weird. Just too much. It's just, can I just say it's just too bimbo-y? Just a little too bimbo-y?
Yeah, you can say, we can say, well, listen, safe space. We could say it, Mike. Yeah,
just a bit too bimbo-y. I know people are into that these days. I know that's a channel on Pornhub probably now.
Certainly, yes.
Not bimbo, Candy Kong. MetLife150 says, as generic as it is, as an answer, my waifu is Edelgard from Fire Emblem Three Houses. Definite, she could cut me in half with her axe, and I'd say thank you. Man, people have a type these days. I can tell you what. Look, Edelgard's hot. I agree. She also is like a dictator. Is kind of like happy about being a dictator.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, but listen, if you need someone to cut you in half, she'll get the job done.
I'll tell you what, she'll do that. She'll happily do it, especially if she thinks it'll help her. Completely isocentric view of the world, whatever. Cranjies McBasketball, my new favorite community member. Sorry, everybody else. Your name's not Cranjies. Cranjies McBasketball. Says, my Nintendo waifu is Samus because I want her to step on me, but not before she chokes me. God, Pete. I'm telling you, Samus is too good for all of us. Okay, it's not about you guys. I'm just saying, Samus is not going to bother stepping on us.
No.
Like we wish, but she's not going to bother with it. Rumham says, shame on you for inviting these responses. I'm sure I'm going to be disappointed by it. I'm just going to show Skoda-san and get it. Say, Isaac, no thirst from me. Wow. Rumham is above it all, apparently. Yeah. Rumham thinks he's better than
very us. Chaste. Yeah, we
no
get it.
No one's above it. Yeah. No one's above it. You're just lying. You got a waifu. You won't say it. If I had your internet history right here, we'd all be shocked.
We would know, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Epic Open World says, best Nintendo waifu slash husbando? I refuse to answer and end up on a list. Every Patreon subscriber is just going to be on a list now, even if we don't answer. Well, it's too late for that.
Mm-hmm.
May as well just tell us. Nick Turbo says, my Nintendo husbando is Alos from Fire Emblem Three Houses. He's definitely a bear, and I want him to be my daddy. No kink shaming. Okay, Nick Turbo.
Proud of you, Nick Turbo.
Yeah, you and Alios have a good time. Turbo Shot says, so first off, while my favorite video game character ever is Samus, she is nobody's waifu, since, friendly reminder, she will fucking murder you for the right price. Anyway, my Nintendo waifu is Rosalina, or as Jeff once called her, Hot Stepmom Peach. She's way better than the princesses of the Mario universe, including Daisy, since not only does she buck the trend of being a damsel in distress, she's the adoptive mother of an entire freaking species. Ooh, what did somebody say? No kids. What a kind and strong person. I also appreciate that she's a classy lady and not just walking fan service like the rest of you perverts probably picked. Oh, and Bust Husbando is Captain Falcon. Come on, just look at those pecs. I like how, okay, so a moment ago, it's like it's not just about looks, but now you like Captain Falcon because of the pecs. So that's good. I know. Look, I'm not mad. I like Rosalina a lot. Rosalina's great. Revan says Sarah Kerrigan. She's got those
stepmommy vibes. Yeah, I get it.
Sarah Kerrigan from the always wonderful StarCraft 64. I forgot about this reoccurring StarCraft 64 thing with him, and now it's back. Sarah Kerrigan sucks. I'll just say it. She's stupid. What a lame character. Like, I think the character's five StarCraft 2 and then, or StarCraft 1 and then 2, she became the whole.
Yeah, you're not considering the N64 model, though, which is very hot.
Nah, I feel like just the generic ghost model is better than that, right? Like, of course, which basically is just Samus. They made Samus a character in those games, and they tried to make that game about her, Nova, with StarCraft Ghost, and they canceled it, despite her being so hot. Still kind of canceled her game. VJ Incoming says, can't believe you'd be brave enough to willing plan what will no doubt be the horniest episode of Nintendogs ever. Anyway, I'm cheating on this answer and saying my Nintendo waifu is both Pyra and Mithra from Xenoblade 2. They can change at will, so it counts as one answer. Pyra is kind and caring, and Mithra has the right kind of attitude to stand up for me when McDonald's gets my order wrong. Yes, Mithra has huge, he asks for no pickles energy. That is for sure. Plus, you get a neat sword for body with them. The perfect partner always comes with a sword. Well, I'll tell you what, that game definitely wants you to make Pyra and Mithra your waifus, so I can't fault you. In fact, that's my big issue with the game. The game wants you to make them be your waifus so desperately that it kind of bothers me. It becomes a little too much. Like, okay, I get it, guys. You want me to be in love with the mommy doms. Jeremy G, I have to go with Tharja from Fire Emblem Awakening for many reasons. Yeah, a lot of people like Tharja. She's doing she's doing the big titty goth thing that people like now, right? That's a thing? Yeah, that's a thing now.
Is it Tharja or is that Corrin?
No, this is Tharja. Tharja's the one. She's got a lot of...
You're right.
What's that called? Not stockings, but like...
Nylons?
Cross lace thing.
Oh, yeah, the fishnets?
Fishnets. She's got a lot of fishnet going on. Yes, yeah. And she's got boobs. Charles says, another Fire Emblem Awakening one for me. Side note, I think Fire Emblem Awakening just gets a lot of answers because that was like the first Fire Emblem game where it's like you can marry somebody and you can also marry off all the other ones. So, of course. Although Jeff had me questioning it last week, but it would have to be Sumia. Anyone that played that game can't have not just loved the character. Husbando has got to be Brock, only an exceptional man as a frying and drying pan in one, plus a star chef and rock hard Pokemon. Noble says, my pick is Bowsette. Yeah, she's maybe not real, but she does have the perfect Nintendo golf girlfriend vibes. Make her happen, Shiggy. People forget that Bowsette is literally just Bowser with a power-up, right? Like, I'm sorry.
I don't
know
if people forget that at all, Mike. I think that's key.
I'm telling myself they forget that because it's just too weird otherwise.
I think that's key to what's happening here.
Alex says, not much can top goth mommy Tharja, but I'm going to go with a waifu from Fire Emblem Fates. Hinoka. While I love most of the characters' designs in Fate's Birthright, Hinoka also was just a fun character to interact with. She's got one of the better stories, or at least one I can still remember. Her collapse options are cool, and you get her at either the start or close. So so I had her in my party the whole game. Plus, she's a redhead. Well, there you go. Jotun says, we talked about her a bit before, but we will again. 5-0 from WarioWare is my waifu. Yeah, 5-0 is a pretty good choice. I think, you know, some of you guys right now are probably a little young. When you get my age, the whole they have a kid thing, you'll get over it. Don't worry. You'll be fine. Beef Hammer says, best husbando is absolutely Crom from Fire Emblem Awakening, and absolutely gentleman with a personality that we all want in our man. He's brave, respectable, and always fights for his friends. For best waifu, I'm sorry, Mike, but I can't agree with you that Crystal is the best. Shut the hell up. shut the goddamn hell up. And he said, I'm going with Samus. Metroid Dread solidified for me that she's still one of my favorite gaming icons. I've always loved the detail of Metroid Prime when you see her face reflected in the visor occasionally. She is a top-tier badass. Hotsuke says, okay, my waifu from any Nintendo game would have to be Crystal from Star Fox Adventures. She is too damn fine. I think he's just trolling us. I don't know, maybe not. Wildfire Alex says, my favorite Nintendo husbando / waifu is none other than Kirby. And no, I'm not going to explain why. You can figure it out. I'll tell you, Kirby's the wrong answer. Kirby's just wrong.
Listen, yeah, I get what you're saying, but he'll suck your, like, it'll come off and then they'll turn into it. And then you don't
turn it.
You don't, and that would be
might like that.
And that, well, I guess so.
But like, oh, yes, hurt me, Kirby. Suck my wiener away to turn into a wiener and slap me. They'll like it. They'll be like, oh, that's hot.
Yeah, you're sitting there bleeding to death, and then there's a giant penis monster right next to you now. I mean, it's not my last moments of the life that I envision, but hey, I'm not going to kink shame.
Kirby be an awful partner. He's just like a vagrant. He's like Homer Simpson, but at least Homer Simpson has a jaw.
Yeah. You
know? Oh, man. Geeky64 says, Cass from Zelda Breath of the Wild is the only husbando I want. He makes such great music. My little brother, who had never heard the term husbando until last week and apparently was giggling like crazy, but he also likes Cass from Breath of the Wild, is probably going to agree with you. So now I think Chris's husbando is going to be Cass. Schwa218 says, well, I don't have any waifus per se. I wanted to relay my excitement for finally receiving my limited run collector's edition for Monkey Island with all five games. There you go. I guess I had, I should have put this in the other category. I guess I had to pick one that would be a strong character like Elaine with more puns than you can imagine. Yeah, never mind. It came back. Man, I almost wanted that one, Schwab, but I already bought the one, the limited run thing they made for just the first Monkey Island. I was like, okay, how much money can I spend on Monkey Island special editions? But oh, yeah, good stuff. Elaine is actually pretty good. I like her Monkey Island 3 look quite a bit. It's good stuff. Visualizer says, fuck it. Bowsette is my waifu because I am in severe need of help. Appreciate the honesty. And Luigi is Hispando. He jumps around collecting a lot of money, and he seems like he'd be smarter with his finances than Mario. Well, would he be? I don't know. He'd probably get scammed by, like, that guy who makes his vacuum, to be honest. Actually, doesn't that happen in this game? Doesn't he just give that guy all of his money, now that I think about it? Like, doesn't he just go around that mansion or the hotel collecting so much money, and he just doesn't he give most of it to that guy?
Yeah, sounds like it. I don't remember.
Egad, I remembered. Got it. Gert Bear says, continuing on the theme of filthy animals, here's my answer to this week's question, where I just tried to make Mike uncomfortable. My answer is Pyra / Mithra from Xenoblade Smash Brothers. I don't know about them as I didn't play Xenoblade, but how? You probably know everything about them that you need to know.
Yeah, it's basically you got the gist.
But how many other waifus on the list can switch between being a buxom blonde and a rocking redhead? Also a great cook canonically with a snap of their fingers. I'm guessing not many. But wait, there's more. According to this article I'm reading in the Tor browser, there's a special third blue-haired waifu, Numa, waiting to unlock. And no one cares. Everyone forgets about Tor Numa. Browser. At that point, they're like, okay, we already got two. Tor. yeah, you unlock Numa if I have a strong enough bond with the twin pack. Is this a spoiler? Is this Xenoblade Chronicles 2 spoiler? Screw it. Legit proud of how icky that sounds. I already have, with a name that's short for pneumatic, you just know she is fun. Wow. Great jubbly wubbly. This steel just keeps getting better all the time. I was going to joke about how the blade's life force being tied to mine means they could never leave me, but there's no way to even joke about
the
that.
The name is short for pneumatic is going to kill me. I'm not going to stop thinking about that.
Do better, Japan. That's just messed up, God. I'll tell you what. It's like, I can't blame people for being horny for Pyra and Mithra. Like, that's the whole point of that game. Like, that's what they're trying to do. They cast you as like a kid and give you the mommy doms with the most ridiculously engorged breasts ever. And they're like, you know, it's like nice mommy dom, me mommy dom. And like, they're both kind of flirty dom, and they both like love you and care about you a lot and take and protect you. Like, yeah. It's just like, I get it. It's just a little weird sometimes. It's a bit too much for me sometimes.
It's too sugary.
It's a bit much. It's a bit, they lay it on pretty thick. I'll tell you what. There's like the girl from the first Xenoblade Chronicles, Sharla or whatever. I can't remember. Like, there's hot girls in the first one, but in the other one, people don't remember them because they're not Pyra and Mithra, where again, like the whole, it was like a mandate. Nintendo Bros. I like this answer. Nintendo Bro says, my answer is my wife's me. Her me is
that's
very
gross. Cute. That's perverted. That's messed up.
Wonderfully. I am always reminded of how cute my wife is every time I see
disgusting.
Her. Here's somebody whose wife definitely listens to the show. Or at least that's what I'm going to say out of fear of what my wife may do if she's ever found out. It was actually Lynn from Fire Emblem for the Game Boy Advance. Yeah, Lynn from Fire Emblem for the Game Boy Advance. That's a good answer. Okay, there we go. Low Roulette just says the only correct answer is Samus. I mean, come on. She's the baddest person in the galaxy, and there is zero chance any of us could ever get her, which makes her more desirable. Okay, I guess there's that, right? She's out of reach thing. Whereas Pyra and Mithra, the game just throws them at you. Like, did they're like, to be clear, you have them. They're yours.
Yeah. These are objects. Hey, here you go. Congratulations.
They're literally swords.
Yep.
Screaming Madden says, can I make my husbando Brett Favre since he's appeared in countless Madden games on Nintendo systems? No? Fine. And then for waifu, I'll pick Mayor Pauline. She goes from being the damsel in distress in Donkey Kong to becoming the incredibly popular mayor of New Donk City. She also knows how to party by throwing the New Donk City Festival and is into big band music. Clearly, she has things figured out on how not to get kidnapped, unlike a certain princess whose kingdom
can't. You don't talk about my waifu like that.
Kidnapping her over and over again. Jeff, how come Peach only chooses when she's competent and can take care of herself?
Because yeah, it's the same thing as Mithra and Pyra. Nintendo's like, hey, here's your bimbo right now. If you need a bimbo right now, and then other times they're like, yeah,
we need rewards. We need rewards of human flesh, Jeff.
Yes, exactly. We must sate the beast within these gamers. Yes, that's right.
Here's my question for you: in our lifetimes, is there going to be an official rendition of Peach where there's cleavage?
No, maybe yes.
In 40 years.
Yes.
Maybe 40 years, it's like, it's not a big deal that Peach has a line representing the separation of her breasts.
We're no longer ashamed of breasts. We're Nintendo now. We eat ass.
I don't know. Like, right now, I know it's as conservative as ever. Like, right now, they're like, it was a big deal when they accidentally let the sports outfit look get through. Wasn't her golf outfit slightly sexy? I guess it's just because it was a skirt.
Yeah, but I'm sure. I mean, it's Peach. Everything's sexy, right? Am I right or am I right?
See, I don't use the word sexy for Peach. No, she's elegant. Nah,
and usually, usually you're right.
Beautiful, yeah. But I don't know.
We do have some submissions from our chat here right now through Super Chats. Let's see here. From Huey F. Newton, Captain Syrup, the most underrated waifu. We need her back as the main villainess in a Wario game. I actually don't remember what Captain Syrup looks like, so I'll have to...
Is that the pirate who's, like, the main villain in a lot of the games for a while?
Yeah, hang on, yeah.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. I mean, when I think about pirates, though, I think about Shantae and the Pirate's Curse, and I know Shantae's not a Nintendo character, but Shantae is also, obviously, a very good waifu for the most blatantly obvious reasons ever.
Yeah, Captain Syrup's great, actually. Yeah, that's a good answer.
Jeff's saving that one.
Yeah, we'll see.
No one said less. Mona from WarioWare yet. That's true, B-Famer. Mona's pretty good. Mona's company is questionable, though. I feel like, why are Mona's friends Wario with these losers? It makes me question her personality.
For Possentheory, my husbando has to be the one and only King Calamari from Mario RPG. That's pretty good.
Wow.
Let's see. Victor Marinez. We got a lot. My husbando is N from Pokemon White. Too much drip. My waifu is Alessa from Pokemon White, a gym leader and a model for or Lynn from Fire Emblem.
Which one's Alessa from Pokemon White? I remember, I don't know. That's the same one. Okay, I'm gonna, because that's the same one that has Skyla, and I'm like mad you didn't choose Skyla now. So I'm gonna look up this one and see if she's better, and get mad at you when she's not.
All right, I forgot that, like, just reading these is okay. Here we go.
I'd say it's a popular episode this week, huh? Imagine that.
Lucius Augustus, Melanie from Pokemon Sword and Shield, got those big milkers.
Somebody finally said the word milkers. God.
Yep. And really, I'm proud of us for waiting this long. So, yeah. Isaac Spencer says, my waifu is Goomba. Damn, so hot. Fair enough.
Alessa's the electric one. Alessa is okay. Oh my god, Alessa is so not nearly as hot as Skyla. It's not even fun. It's like a funny. It's a funny joke almost. How much worse she is actually. Look at Skyla. Even her pixel art is kind of sexy. She's literally showing her ass in the pixel art.
All right. Well, I'll have to Google that.
Don't worry. I just shared it in chat. Everyone look at Skyla's pixel. It's so small, but look at that. She's literally showing her ass. And okay, also profile of her breasts. That is definitely the sexiest a Pokemon character has ever looked. Like, that's just
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, you're right. Wait, yes. She's turned around. Yeah, you're right. Okay.
She's like, look at my ass and my tits.
Yes, okay. She's doing that pose, right.
It just said tits.
It was bound to happen eventually. Major Blazer, my favorite Nintendo waifu has to either be Twintel or Min Min. Love me a tall lady, but also love slurping on ramen.
bad.
Yeah, that is what it is.
Oh, no.
What can we do here? I do believe that does it. We have some questions though. Should I get into those? Or
we just got another waifu from Uriel Delgado here.
From Uriel Delgado. Waifu is Minna. She's a tease. Husbando, I guess, Link post Breath of the Wild. There sure has been a lot of yaoi art of Link since that game came out. I don't know how to say that word. I'm aware of what it is.
Yeah. Yaoi?
Yaoi? Probably
saying that right and can't say Wu-Tang.
It says a lot about you, Mike. I think that's okay.
I think you're correct. Well, now, okay. Well, I think, you know, we're done there. If you've got more, you can send them in the super chats. We've got some questions to get through. I'm already going to take a shower after this anyway.
So yes.
You can keep saying them if you need to.
Got to go to church. Yaoi.
Take me to church.
All right, let me get to some of these questions because we do have to wrap up pretty soon because I'm going to have to go get these kids ready to go to a Christmas train. from Afro Ahmed. I had a great 2021 on Switch. Breath of the Wild, Ori, Hades, Axiom Verge, Dark Souls, Quake, Katana Zero, Metroid Dread, Hollow Knight, and Celeste. So basically, Afro Ahmed just celebrating a good year for Switch for them. So yeah, glad to hear it. I didn't play my Switch quite as much this year. But that's just because every time I try to get it out, my kids want to play on it now. So my third most played game this year was a game that teaches you about the seasons. So, yeah, that just tells you.
FYI, next year the topic will be what was your Switch game of the year. So you
can start next episode. Okay, cool. Awesome.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, if your answer is Metroid Dread, give me another answer too. I think it's going to be a popular one. Like, it's mine. It's probably Jeff's. But yeah. We'll say a runner-up also.
There we go. Yes. Yeah. Send in your game of the year and a runner up or a runner up or two. That's fine. Let's see. Another one from Afro Ahmed. But I'm sad the Switch games I'm waiting for either don't have dates or are likely 2022, 2023. Silk Song, TMNT. Now, TMNT is coming out soon, right?
I think TMNT. I think it
might not have a date. But okay.
It's coming.
Wind Waker, yeah. Final Fantasy Pixel Remaster. That did just get a date for Steam, but not for
Steam. Yeah, not for Switch.
I think those ones are going to start coming to console. The first ones that have already come out will come to console here pretty soon, in the early next year. And then Prime Remaster. That needs a date too. Most of those will come out, but I mean, there's like Kirby to look forward to. I guess maybe that's just not your thing.
Yeah, we might be due for a direct, huh? Right? Like in January. Oh,
yeah. As soon as January comes around, we're going to be talking about direct timing a lot. Yeah. That's just going to be what happens. From You Got a Groove. Yo, the Halo You're the Man Now dogs you all shared were so friggin' funny. I wake up singing the Plasma Rifle every morning now.
It's so weird to me that you guys are all into that now. Like that was like an in joke between me and my friends for like almost like 15 years. And even like in the heyday of YTMND, those YTMNDs were not that popular.
They have a couple thousand views total. Like, and that's the most popular ones, like 3,000 views, like even today.
So it was ahead of his time.
Yeah, that's what it is. We're bringing him back. We're bringing him back. Yeah. I wonder what that guy's doing now. He's probably like,
I hope he finds out.
Probably some lawyer or something. Hey, Mike, Jeff, any news about Eternal Darkness? Is the title 100% dead? And then there's an emoji of is it a dog? Yeah, an emoji of a dog.
I think it's 10 dogs, Jeff. That's the podcast.
Okay, I guess that's the podcast. Very good. I think it's 100% dead. There's no Eternal Darkness coming back.
No, I mean, yeah.
Especially not from Silicon Knights. I mean, Silicon Knights is 100% dead.
I mean, they tried to make that spiritual successor, and like the campaign failed spectacularly
multiple times. Yeah,
right. And that's like, well, clearly there's no real interest in it even more, right? No, just if you want to play Eternal Darkness, do crimes, I guess.
Don't pull me, I'll pull you. Plasma rifle.
That's right. What would you do? I phoned all the news.
That does it for questions from the chat, though. Thank you everybody so much for sending in the super chats this week. Mike is right. Pretty popular episode of Nintendogs.
Tell you what.
Yeah. All right, Mike, well, what else do we have?
Well, let's talk about some giveaways here, because we're gonna do some holiday giving away this week. It's gonna be happening on our Discord channel. There's a Gamespeak the side channel.
There's Last of the Nintendogs channel too. You just use that one.
We use the Last of the Nintendogs channel in the gaming zone. I'm going to make a post for each of the things I'm going to give away. These are Nintendo themed ones. Jeff might have some.
I got the Mario Game & Watch. I have two of those, so I'll give those away.
Yeah, so that, and we'll just each thing we're giving away have its own listed message in the Discord, and then you'll just leave any kind of emoji. It'd be preferable you've all did the same one. It'll be easier, and then we'll randomly pick somebody. But I will be putting up on there this Shin Megami Tensei. There we go. Christian won't be mad at me. Not this rhymes with Sensei. Shin Megami Tensei 5 mask. We've got this box, brand new sealed limited run special edition of Scott Pilgrim versus the World for Switch.
Yeah, react to it, right? You want people to react to it?
Yeah, react is what I'm looking for. Yeah, I don't get the emoji. React. And I also have some Shin Megami Tensei 5 pins. I don't know if I do these together. I mean, what the heck? We'll have more winners. I'll separate them. We'll separate them out.
I could get rid of some stuff. Yeah, I should do. Yeah, we should do this for Games Beat the Sides too.
If there's non-gaming ones, we'll give some away for Games Beat the Sides. We'll figure that out next week. But yeah, so if you're not on our Discord, join it. There's a link here in the show notes. It's the discord.gg/gamemess still works, right?
Yes, yes. They just put it in chat. It's still working, yes.
Oh, good. Yeah, so just join there. You'll find the channel. It's called Less of the Nintendogs. And I'll probably put up at least one or two of these today. So right. Just keep an eye out.
If you're listening, to this later on the podcast version, click the link in the description, discord.gg/gamemess, the one that just says go to our Discord. You should have a chance to still win because we're not going to you'll be deciding by next episode, right? So if they're listening between now and then, they'll have a chance to win still.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, cool. So you still have a time. Go check the Discord and just react and you'll have a chance to win.
Yeah,
and then we'll pick it randomly, right? We'll see everyone we'll do a random number generator and we'll just count and figure it out, right? Is that how we'll do it?
Yeah, I'll pick it randomly. I'll get it figured out. Jeff, did you miss a super chat from Casual? Everyone's saying you did, including Casual.
Very, very possibly. Let's see here. Casual. Yes, I did. I accidentally clicked on it. All right, from Casual. Dear Jeff, Deus Tex Mex Machina Grub, and Mike Inwalker, but with Monkey Ball cast Minotti. What do you think the next non-Breath of the Wild project is? I suppose for Zelda. Merry Christmas to my favorite Booyan boys. I guess if we're like the next non-Breath of the Wild Zelda project, like after Breath of the Wild, I think that we'll probably get something that's like a 2D Zelda. It'll probably be a 2D remake, but maybe a new 2D game that's like uses the Link's Awakening engine or something like that. I don't know.
I really have no idea. It's actually kind of hard. Part of me thinks they'll just, I mean, that group is just going to immediately start working on like whatever the follow-up to Breath of the Wild 2 is going to be, which I imagine will play like Breath of the Wild, but be like more distinct in a lot of ways. Right. I am not holding out hope for Oracle of Ages or Oracle of Seasons remake. I'm giving up on that.
Yeah, I'm with you. Mm-hmm. I was going to say no other super chats though. Sorry, I just double checked, so we're good.
All right, Jeff. Is there anything you've been playing this week that you want to talk about specifically on Switch?
I was just catching up on games, and so I finished. Well, I'm very near the end of Inscription. I finished one part of it. Now there's another part, and it's very good in the point. And I do think it's going to come to Switch eventually. Like they haven't announced it yet. It'll come to Switch eventually. So I'm going to keep promoting it here. It's definitely worth checking out. And even when like people like spoil it for you a little bit and say, oh, this sort of thing happens, they can't really prepare you for what's going to happen in the game. It's still like that good. So definitely check that out if you get a chance. And then, so I was just catching like Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, the game that you could play on Switch. I did finally finish that. I really, really, really like that game. It's not, it's like
a Switch game.
It's between 3 and 4 stars for me. But the big part of it is, like, I think the combat is good. It just wears out its welcome. The characters are just so good, though, by the end, that I in the story overall, I think was really solidly told. So if you have any affinity for those characters at all, and you felt burned by Avengers, don't worry about that. Come here, check this out. It's worth playing.
All right. Sounds good. I've just been playing a lot of those Genesis games, man. I played through Dynamite Heady. I played through Castlevania Bloodlines and Contra Hardcore. Contra Hardcore sure is good. Also,
yeah, that's a good game.
What I like about that compared to like say Alien Wars on Super Nintendo, at least from what I can remember, like Hardcore is very much mostly bosses. Again, it's like there's some run and gun sections, but then it's almost more like a Cuphead almost. It's just so boss focused, and you have the four characters, and they each get different guns. It is very fun, and you have the alternate paths. Yeah, Hardcore I think is pretty easily my favorite Contra. Actually, it's good stuff. But Castlevania Blends is also great. I could maybe like change my mind on what my favorite of like the old school 2D Castlevania games is. Like maybe it's Bloodlines, maybe it's just like Rondo of Blood or Castlevania 4, 3, or even 1. But Hardcore is pretty easily my favorite Contra game. Jeff, what are we doing for Games Beat the Size this week? Are we going to do it just on Friday on Christmas Eve? Like I can, I think.
I think I can too. Maybe the timing might be a little bit different. Maybe we could do it a little bit earlier because we usually do it at like 11:30. Let's do it a little bit earlier. So let me know what time works for you. We'll figure that out. And
what we do this show, we can do like
11:30 Eastern.
11:30 my time. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I think that's what we'll do. I'll put up the schedule on YouTube so people can see when it's going to happen. And we'll probably do it around that time on Friday. And that way I can get that out of the way and then make sure all my Christmas stuff is taken care of later that day. Okay. Sounds good. Mike, I'm ready to get out of here. In fact, I need to get out of here. So
that's right.
There's the music.
That's good. good. Yeah, there it is. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. You can find more of me on Twitter at Tolkoto, T-O-L-K-O-T-O. Check out 90s Disney, my 90s Disney podcast, at 90sDisneyPodcast.com. We'll be back on Friday with Games Week Decides. Jeff.
I am Jeff Grubb on Twitter. Join the Discord, you know, react to win some of this stuff. We'll be putting stuff up throughout this week. Tune into Games Week Decides this Friday. I will be looking forward to that and hanging out with everybody on Christmas Eve if you get a chance to do so. If not, we'll see you the week after. Yeah, and then everyone have a Merry Christmas. Have a Happy New Year. Be safe. Take care of yourself. If you are out there and like the variant's getting at you and you feel like really locked down, you know, reach out. So, you know, come hang out on our Discord. We'll play games together or something like that. We've been playing Halo, so, you know, we'll try to do some more of that. Come hang out with us. We'll try to keep you in a good mood. All right, Mike. See you next week.
Bye. Who's in style? Who's in style?